All right.
It snowed today.
It did snow today.
That's very upsetting.
That's not what I want to talk about for the intro, though. So we're gonna
oh,
not
you
talk
got
about
one planned.
Something. I got something.
Okay.
It snowed this morning. What? Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast. We are, we're recording on October 29th, 2008, a couple of days away from Halloween. Thank you. Are you dressing up as anything, Ash Guy?
Supposedly Jim and I are going as the dude and Walter from the Big Lebowski.
Oh, I see. That should be fun. Good luck with that. Well, we're going to do our normal show today. We're going to start off with news. You possibly don't have that much news.
No.
I think we spent 40 minutes on news last week.
There's a lot of stuff last week. It was crazy.
I know. It was crazy. Then we're going to do the Great American Ash Guy Gaming Quiz.
Yep.
Followed by Answer or Die.
Yep.
Then we've got a lot of games to talk about that we've been playing. We're going to the weekly game releases. We're going to, you know, downloadable and the normal stuff. We're going to look at the 4-1 top 10 list by, who does that? I'm brain farting.
Derek Robbins.
Derek Robbins. Oh my God. I'm sorry.
I was waiting to see if you'd get it. I was like, come on.
Well, I was waiting. I asked you.
I know. I started laughing.
Man, I feel like we're off sync so far.
Yeah, it's a weird night for some reason.
Where's the energy at? Where's that chemistry?
I don't know.
Now I'm reassured. No,
we'll get it.
I don't know.
Let's keep going. We'll find it.
Okay. And then we're gonna finish off with Mel Barrow, and then we're gonna do a segment on Fable 2 because we finished it, both of us, and we kind of want to talk about the ending, stuff like that. So. You know, it's one of our trademark end segments on a recently released game. It's going to be filled with spoilers, so you don't have to listen to it if you don't want to.
Yes, we'll give proper warning.
Right. So why don't you start off with the news then?
Okay, so we'll start with some minor things. In Warhammer Online, a lot of people have been continuing to complain about the very long queues for the scenarios.
Meanwhile, all
the Realm versus Realm areas, like... they're not quite as populated as Mythic was hoping they would be. So what they're doing is they're doubling the amount of experience points you get from killing people in PvP in an RVR area, but not for a scenario kill. So hoping to encourage people to do more of the capturing and all that. So, you know, that's cool. We'll see if it works.
Mm-hmm.
I had to let my Warhammer account run out, and I haven't renewed it yet just because... I'm not going to have time to play it for, like, the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, I just don't have any money.
Yeah, it's just with everything else coming out, too, yeah. Anyway. So, ask me if this sounds familiar to you. PlayStation Canada's PR spokesman, Robert Levitin, has said that 2009 is the year of the PSP. Just as 2008, 7, and 6 were.
Well, I think that... Kingdom Hearts games coming out in 2009, so he's probably right this time.
Yeah, basically the only thing he could really reference was the Resistance game coming out in February, and, you know, it takes more than one game to make it the year of something. But, I mean, like I said, it always seems to me like the PSP is poised to be really great, and then Sony never just kind of takes that last step. Like, they finally got the PlayStation Store on there now, so maybe they could do something really cool with that. We'll see.
Right.
Meanwhile, the PlayStation version 3000, PlayStation Portable, it is version 3000, which came out a couple weeks ago, I think, in the Ratchet pack. It's the silver one with Ratchet, and you get a voucher for Echo Chrome or something like that, and you get National Treasure 2 on UMD. That came out first, and then there's supposed to be another bundle coming out in a couple weeks that was going to be a black PSP 3000 with a 4 GB memory stick and a voucher for Echo Chrome. And Sony's apparently decided to scrap this bundle, saying that because of the success of the Ratchet bundle, they think everyone just wants that, so they're going to, in like early December, release like that same bundle in black as an addition to Silver. That's it. You know, I mean, someone might want to explain to them that things tend to do good when it's the only one that's out. I don't know.
Yes, interesting reasoning.
Like, if it came out on the PlayStation blog, and it was just funny to read the comments where it's just like all these people are like, "I was gonna buy that, but now I kind of don't want to. Thanks."
Well, moving on to good news. I don't think that many people are going to back out of it because the bundle they won isn't there anymore, but we'll see.
I mean, I was somewhat interested in that bundle. I mean, to get the new one with a 4-gig card was pretty good. Like, I don't care about the Ratchet game. I played that game. I think it's not that good at all. And the National Treasure 2 is pretty awesome.
When you say the Ratchet game, do you mean
It's size matters. No, it's not Secret Agent Clank. It's the older one. So you could probably get that for $10 somewhere anyway.
Well, yeah.
I've played the demo for Secret Agent Clank. I've rented Size Matters. I don't like either of them.
Well, you don't really like Ratchet and Clank that much.
No, I do. It's just
you've never even owned one. Come on.
Ratchet and Clank is sitting on my shelf right there. Don't even tell me that.
And that's not yours. That's mine. You borrowed it.
Well, I did buy it before I realized that I had your copy, and I was like, oh, so I took it back.
Okay, that barely counts.
Uh-huh.
My fact is, you are not one to judge the merits of a Ratchet and Clank game.
Very well. It's to me, it's that thing of console games on the PSP and not PSP games, but whatever.
God of War was sweet, though.
What's that?
God of War was awesome for
true.
The PSP.
I don't know.
That
it's
that
it's
Crisis
yeah,
Core
to...
game, which I that, almost
that,
beat.
That's a PSP game to me.
It could have been a PS2 game.
And it worked.
I mean, I don't know what your definition. I kind of understand where you're going, but
I think the biggest problem is camera control in these games. In addition to like the Daxter game, because God of War is a fixed camera and Crisis Core is just a behind you camera, so maybe that's why I don't mind them as much.
Don't the Ratchet games usually have a fixed camera for a lot of it?
No, it's always been, you know, like the right stick controls right. the camera. So like in this, it's like the shoulder buttons do it. Just I don't know. It's like right. this really weird angle and you can't see anything. Anyway. We're digressing. Let's move on.
I believe you.
Okay. The good old games open beta has begun, so now anybody can go to their site, get an account, and start downloading some games. So have fun with that.
Okay.
Namco has issued a statement. To everyone's shock and dismay, the servers for Hellgate London will be coming down January 31st.
Jeez, man, that was a big flop of a game.
Yeah, that was a huge disaster. Those guys... They quit Blizzard to go do this. That's gotta suck.
They spent forever making it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were talking about this game forever, and it came off to bad reviews, all these server issues.
This is what Bill Roper finally said after like he kind of conceded that, yes, this didn't really work. And he's absolutely right. He's like, they tried to make a game that's a combination third-person action game, first-person action game, with randomly generated content in 3D that's part MMO, part single player, blah, blah, blah. It was like a hajillion things in one in a brand new company with brand new tech. They just bit off more than they could chew and didn't realize it.
Right. Plus, now we have Diablo 3 coming out, so...
Yeah.
You know,
but the nice caveat is you can play it online with the premium content enabled for free until it gets shut down. So if you still have it, you want to try to get through the story or whatever, you know, have fun with that. I think was this one of the games
you own
where they
that
were
game,
selling?
Don't you?
Yeah, I do. I felt well. The demo was good. I got suckered by the demo. I was upset, believe me. But when I stopped playing, is when there was a glitch that caused all my weapons to erase themselves, and I was like, "What the hell?" Anyway, was this one of the games that had the thing where like for the first month only, we'll sell you a lifetime subscription for $250?
I think it was.
I think it did. Boy, that sucks.
Oh,
sorry to those people.
I hope that was a short lifetime.
Yeah.
Mm.
I just realized, like, my news kind of goes back and forth. Good news, bad news, good news, bad news. So, good news. Criterion has updated their website. And one of the things they've said is over the next 4 weeks, every Friday, they're going to detail one of the four new free updates coming to Burnout. So we've got at least four more coming. So we'll see if the rumored plane update is still happening or not. That was kind of like they announced it a while ago and said we're just not sure if it's going to work. But there's going to be four of them still to come, which I think is awesome.
And maybe one will be a zombie one. That seems to be the popular
Yeah, that is the big thing right now. Well,
just throw zombies. Man, zombies are stupid. We'll jump ahead to that. In anything.
Since you gave me a nice transition, World of Warcraft is doing this kind of crazy zombie event right now where I guess there's like these plague crates in Booty Bay, and if you touch them, you get this disease, and if you don't have it cured within 10 minutes, you turn to a zombie. That's basically almost like its own mini class, and you go around infecting other people, and you can infect anybody, your faction, the other faction, PC, NPC, whatever. The complaint some players are having is, you know, people who are on a PvE server basically can't play the game right now because everyone's just turning them into zombies. So, like, there's, like, pros and cons to it. I think it's kind of neat, but I could also see, like, you know, if you're trying to hurry up and get to 70 before Wrath of the Lich King comes out, and now this is happening, and you're like, what the hell? That could be a bit bothersome. But
How long do you stay a zombie for?
I think until, like, some... It's all a big world event tied in to the eventual release of Wrath. Like, I think the whole thing is, like, about how the Lich King's plague is spreading or something, and you're actually playing that out. So they haven't really said yet.
So if you become a zombie, you're one for a while?
Yeah.
I'm kind of confused. Okay. Weird.
Also, Grand Theft Auto is doing something with zombies, too. It's, I know, right? In the GTA 4
just like the way you said that. Also, you sound kind of baffled and sort of...
I am kind of baffled, because in all the games, to get, like, a zombification mode, that wouldn't have been one I thought of. But it's like a multiplayer thing. You know, if you shoot a guy who's a zombie, you become a zombie. Same deal.
What's with zombies? I've never liked zombie anything. Movies. The only zombie thing I liked is Shaun of the Dead because it makes fun of zombies.
What about Resident Evil 4?
It has no zombies.
Yeah, I guess
the first
really
few Resident
zombies.
Evils do, and they're stupid. So chew on that. Resident Evil 5, no zombies. It's going to be awesome. Resident Evil movies had zombies. Freaking terrible.
Well, you might have something there.
Yes, I do. We got our groove back.
All right.
The energy's there now. Stella got her groove back. Honey, we gotta get your groove back.
All right, let's go back
to some bad news.
That's
the name of this episode. AJ and Michael get their groove back.
Oh, great. So... I hope by now we've all seen the phenomenally awesome video of the Joker's fatality from Mortal Kombat vs. DC. Well, everyone save that video because the fatality has been edited. As they've said before, this game is like shooting for a teen rating. That was part of the stipulation of having all the DC characters in there. And I guess one of the differences between teen and M is getting shot in the face.
Yeah.
So you'll still see the Joker pull his gun and the little bang thing come out. And then I guess I guess the way it'll probably happen is you just see him reach into the pocket, pull out the gun, and then the camera pans away, and you just hear the gunshot, and then you see him dancing around.
It's too bad.
Still cool.
When I first saw it, I mean, it's a decent enough compromise, I guess. It's not. I mean, it's still the humor's still kind of there. But when I saw that original version, I thought to myself, that's one of the best fatalities I've seen since
the original series. Watching that video isn't altogether that different from watching it happen in the game, so we got it.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, the initial... Nothing is ever going to beat the first time you saw it, so...
Yeah.
I still have hopes for that game. People keep saying good things about it.
I know. But, you know, we'll see how it turns out. Hopefully it's fun. All right, here, we'll get it out of the way for your sake. Let's get into our music game news segment here.
Okay, because we got the Beatles thing here, right? That's not bad.
Yeah, well, I'll save that for last.
Am I messing up your order?
Yeah, a little.
Am I throwing a screw in all of your plans?
Yes. Guitar Hero World Tour came out last week, and surprise, shock, and awe, there's a lot of problems with the drums. Apparently, like, it's to the point where, like, hard hits only register as soft hits in the velocity sensor, to pads being completely unresponsive. Now, you all remember last year when this was an issue for Rock Band, you could just have them send you a replacement, and then you sent yours in when the replacement arrived. Activision has decided to release what they're calling the Drum Tuning Kit, which they revealed today is actually like a PC application you download, and I guess you plug in your drum through the USB port, and you can readjust the software inside the drum using this thing, like with, you know, sliders or something. So, I mean, we don't know if this is going to work, because I would imagine that that might fix the velocity problem, but if the drum's not responding at all, I think that's a little more complicated of an issue. People seem to be hinting that if you kind of just call them up and complain enough, they'll send you replacements. So, I don't know. Hopefully it works.
Well, we all love to complain, don't we? So
yeah.
Maybe it works out.
We had a problem with our guitar when Chris got the game where the upstrum didn't work like 3/4 of the time. But he was able to just take it back to the GameStop and get a new guitar, so that was good. We'll talk more about the game itself later. But also, after everybody from Sony to Activision to Harmonix promising complete instrument compatibility, the drums do not work inside of Rock Band. The Guitar Hero drums don't work in Rock Band. According to Activision, they said they've done everything on their end. It's now waiting for a patch from Harmonix, and Harmonix cannot be reached for comment yet. So they'd better get something out, because I'll be very upset now if, like, Activision starts going like, oh, look, we did it now, why haven't they, when, like, it was the other way around a year ago. It's just annoying.
Right.
But yes, then we'll just go to the next bit. It's not 100% confirmed, but it may as well be. It looks like Beatles will be coming to Rock Band. Apple Music Group and MTV have announced that they will have a press conference tomorrow, Thursday, October 30th, to announce some kind of big deal. And in the press release, one of the contact emails was the PR manager for Rock Band. So guess what? It's going to be Beatles for Rock Band. I wonder if it'll be like DLC or if it'll be like this AC/DC pack.
Or is it going to be a new game?
Well, if it's like the AC/DC, where it's, you could still rip it all to the hard drive.
Right. I just hope it's not like, you know, a Guitar Hero Aerosmith deal. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm excited, though.
Did I tell you this? I found the reason why, like, they're doing the Rock Band AC/DC thing the way they are. I guess, like, a little while ago, AC/DC signed some kind of exclusive deal with Walmart to release, like, all their new albums and DVDs, and because of the way it was worded, that would have also affected, like, music game downloads. So, legally, they cannot release anything to either company as a download, so that's why they had to do it as a disc release. So, really, it's Walmart's fault.
Well, wait a second. I mean, who sold out to Walmart here, though?
Yeah, it's true. Let's see. Moving on. If you subscribe to Core or you buy their November issue, you'll get a home beta invite, which, great. They're charging $3 for it now. I don't know.
When is that home coming out?
Well, I guess technically the quote-unquote open beta begins November, but you just got to subscribe to Core to get it. But it's just like, it seems like all the big features that I was even interested in are like being removed left and right.
Well, like the video sharing?
Yeah, and like I still don't, like they still haven't really said if it's going to be like a way to invite people to play a game.
Oh. See, yeah, I thought the whole point of home was like it was a very sort of elaborate, basically, online interface.
Yeah, well that's the thing. I mean, that's been kind of the speculation for why this is taking so long. It's like different parts of Sony want home to be different things. Where you got the idea where, like, part of Sony was like, this is going to be a 3D version of Xbox Live. And the other part of Sony was like, this is Second Life, but on the PlayStation 3. And it's all just been this huge clusterfuck.
The amusing thing to me is that I remember last year when they had that, Ladies and Gentlemen PlayStation 3 commercial, they had clips of home in that.
Oh, yeah. That was, like, yeah, last year.
Yeah. It was like that and, like, Metal Gear Solid before that came out and, like, Ratchet and Clank. Fun stuff.
Yes.
Uncharted. What else you got?
Fable 2 stuff. First of all, for the missing limited edition codes, Microsoft has come up with their remedy. I'm confused. You go to their website, I guess there's a form you fill out, and then they'll send you the codes. But there's really no way for them to know if you bought the LE. But then they don't say it on the site itself, but from everywhere else that I've read, like on Kotaku and stuff, they'll be monitoring it somehow to try to cull the number of people who are just trying to get the codes for free. And they haven't really said what the punishment will be if you get caught, so I'm kind of nervous to actually try it.
What is the DLC code? Is just that Master
it's
Chief?
It's the Master Chief armor, and I think there's something else, too.
Well, whatever.
And then, of course, with a game like Fable 2, there's bugs to be fixed, and Lionhead has said the fixes are coming. The biggest bug, which they said is priority number one right now, is I guess there's a glitch with the Abbot at the Temple of Light, that first quest he gives you, where if you, like, kind of run off while he's still talking, he freezes and won't move and you can't advance. There's no known workaround for it, so if you're playing the game and you get to that point, just let the man talk and you'll be fine.
Sorry, say something, you can just go.
I just swallowed a sneeze. Moving on.
It's an awkward silence. I'm like, I got nothing to say.
Yeah,
Moving on. I'm like...
Left 4 Dead, which is coming out November 18th and is available for pre-order on Steam and, you know, in stores. If you pre-order it at Steam, Amazon, and GameStop, I believe, you will get early access to the demo on November 6th. Otherwise, the demo will release on the 11th. And the demo will feature, in addition to single-player, 4-player co-op. And the co-op portion of the demo will get turned off on the 18th when the game comes out, so it'll just be a single-player demo. But you get 10% off for pre-ordering on Steam, so probably like on the 5th or the 6th I'll pre-order it and be very happy. Because apparently, like, part of the reason why... You see this game advertised everywhere, and I guess part of that reason is Valve have said, like, of all the games they've ever made that they've, like, shown early to people and had testers play and brought in people to play, no game has gotten a better reaction than this, including, you know, Team Fortress 2 and Episode 2 and everything. So, like, they said they're just extremely confident in how well this game is going to do, which is why they want to even, you know, get it out there early like this to create even more goodwill for
okay,
it.
Okay, first off, let's all keep our expectations in check here now.
I know, I'm
let's
trying.
Let's go, oh, man,
it's going to
be better than
Half-Life.
For this game. What's that? Second off, zombies. I think
yeah,
I've already
that's
expressed
true.
My loathing of zombies.
I know, but I hope this game's good, because it sounds awesome to me. Like, if it plays out the way they make it sound like it will, it's going to be phenomenal, and I hope it's good.
Well, we'll see.
The PlayStation 2 is now an open platform. They announced this over in Europe first, and I guess it's worldwide. But you no longer have to get, like, Sony certification to make PlayStation 2 games.
Interesting.
So there's going to be a whole bunch of crappy software coming out for it now.
Yay. This is good stuff.
Yes. And my final news item... it's like a news item and a half. So Microsoft announced last week, over the weekend, you could sign up to become an early preview member of the new Xbox Experience, saying they would be accepting a few thousand people into the program. Apparently, the acceptance emails went out tonight. Major Nelson literally just put up a Twitter saying all the emails have been sent, and I didn't get one, so shit. That blows. I was kind of hoping to get into that.
Ha ha.
Anyway, if you did get an email, apparently you'll be able to download in the next couple of days, so fuck you. And one of the really cool features of the NXE, we knew about the Netflix streaming, and for a while people have been asking, you know, would this be in HD or not? Microsoft was very cagey about it. Well, they've announced that, yes, you'll be able to stream in HD. The program has to have that option first. They're only going to start with, like, 300 or so movies, but it's going to build and build as they just add them to the library.
Is that fast, streaming in HD? Does that
well,
work?
What it only does, like, every time you go to stream a movie, it tests your connection real quick. And if your connection will support the HD, it'll do the HD version if it exists. So, given the way my connection here kind of works, because Comcast in Pittsburgh sucks, I probably wouldn't be able to stream HD anyway. But what's interesting is, like, there's other standalone Netflix players, including Netflix's own box that, you know, this thing does is stream Netflix. But the Xbox is the only one that can do this HD thing. So it's pretty cool when you think about it. You know, for $7 a month, you could stream HD movies all you want to your Xbox.
Okay.
And that's the news.
All right. Well, let's get on going with the Great American Asgai Gaming Quiz.
Okay.
But I think it might be time to get rid of that stipulation. Like, if you win the quiz, you get to, like, take over. Because we need to just accept the fact that this is one thing I do and you put together news, you know?
Okay, that works.
So you're just playing for pride, okay?
All right.
Okay. First question. The hero in Fallout 3 hails from Vault 101. What vault does the main character from the original Fallout come from?
Ooh. I used to know this. I'm going to guess 43, but I know it's probably not right.
No, Vault 13.
Ah!
All right, come on. Number two. The original Fallout was largely inspired by what earlier title by Interplay?
Oh, shit! I so know this. And is it like Wasteland?
Yes, it's Wasteland.
Yes!
Yes. Some people even thought that Fallout was basically a sequel to Wasteland, but EA owned the rights to the Wasteland names. That's why it
wasn't
Wasteland 2.
Yeah, for all intents and purposes, yeah, like Fallout was Wasteland 2, but it's kind of like Commando and Die Hard.
Kind of. Maybe even more loose connected than Commando and Die Hard, though.
Yeah.
I get you. All right. Number three. What's the full name of the only Super Nintendo Castlevania game?
Is it Castlevania Dracula X?
No, I don't know.
That was Genesis. Shit.
This is Super Castlevania 4.
Oh, I knew. I just didn't think long enough. You played it on the virtual console.
Right, right. Number four. Name the two PS2 Castlevania games.
Oh. They were both crappy.
They're both okay, I think, people
say. The one
say.
Came out on Xbox as well.
Right.
I don't know.
You don't know any of them. You can't name either of them?
I'll know it as soon as you say it.
Lament of Innocence and Curse of Darkness.
I knew Lament of Innocence. Curse of Darkness, I actually didn't know.
Huh. Well, in court, including the latest, The Order of Ecclesia, how many Metroidvania-style Castlevania games have there been?
Including the latest. Okay, so you've got Symphony of the Night, Circle of the Moon, Harmony of Dissonance, Area of Sorrow, Dawn of Sorrow, Portrait of Ruin, Order of Ecclesia, I think. So seven?
Yes, seven.
All right.
And the bonus question was to name them all in the order they were released, which you just did.
Sweet.
So that's 3 points you got there.
That's not bad.
Not terrible. No, no. So do you have an answer or dice for me?
Yeah, I've got two that I thought up here.
Okay, dude. Okay. All right,
and actually, I think I might ask you something similar like this before, but we'll go with it anyway. Of all the games that you have beaten, which was your least favorite?
Oh, God, I need more than 5 seconds.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Sonic Adventure 2.
All right. You just squeaked that in there.
I did.
And, elaborate a bit. I mean, I don't understand why, but for the kids at home.
Well, I mean, that was when things started going very bad in the world of Sonic.
Yeah, that's when we had the Tails and Robotnik levels that took like 8 years.
Right. And I guess I technically beat Sonic Heroes, but I mean, I didn't beat it with like all the different people, and I didn't fight, you know how you have to go fight everything again with
the
other
further in that game than I did.
Yeah, I definitely got further. That was a good question. I'd kind of like to think longer, though, about what games I've beaten that I just didn't like at all.
But, here's another
TMNT
one.
Oh, TMNT I beat just for achievements. That was kind of crappy.
Yeah.
But I kind of wasn't expecting much from that. But go ahead. That's the second
one.
And
here's the next one. It's related. It's a slightly different question. What game were you really enjoying, but the end of it just completely killed it for you, and then you hated the game? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Fable 2?
All right. I thought you might say that.
I know that's what you were going for. I don't want to say I hate Fable 2 because of the ending. It's not that bad, maybe. But
right.
What came to mind? But again, listen to the last segment to kind of hear more on
that.
Yeah,
it's a foreshadowing, everybody.
Yes. Oh, I feel like there's something else, though, where games are just they're not like the ending at all. I can't really think. People were upset at Halo 2 ending, but I didn't like Halo very much, so whatever.
I know, like, one a lot of people talk about is, like, Indigo Prophecy, I guess, really falls apart at the end.
Right.
There's another one, too, that's, like, kind of famous for that. I can't remember what it is off the top of my head.
Yeah, there are games that just famously kind of fall apart at the end, but...
Yeah.
Like, nothing really that I played. Well, I guess we can talk about the games we've been playing. So, tell me about Fallout 3.
Oh, my God, I love Fallout so much.
Well, okay, you are the Oblivion guy, so...
Yes, I've made well documented on this show that I freaking love Oblivion. And a lot of people were, like, saying, oh, this game's just going to be Fallout or Oblivion with guns. And, like, you know, you can definitely tell this is the same Oblivion engine. Like, you know, the movement physics are very much the same. You know, dialogue works more or less the same. But, for one, graphically, they just enhance the hell out of the thing. Like, everyone always criticizes Oblivion for its really ugly people. And it looks a hell of a lot better in this one, so, like,
what, do the character models?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've seen some of those faces are weird.
There's still a few weird ones, but on the whole, they look a lot better. No one blinks. They blink.
And in a... What?
In Fallout, they blink.
No, they don't.
Yes. Let's see. And then, like, okay, like, everyone always talks about that moment in Oblivion where you stepped out of the dungeon and for the first time you saw, like, you know, the world in front of you, and it was, like, this really cool moment. There's a similar moment to that in Fallout, and it blows that one away. The first time you step out into the wasteland, you just see, like, you know, just this sun-baked, desolate landscape. Way off in the horizon, you see the silhouette of the you know, post-apocalyptic Washington, D.C., with the, like, tattered Washington Monument and the silhouette of the Capitol building back there. And you're just like, oh, yes, this is going to be so good.
Can you go there?
Yes.
Can you, like, walk around the Capitol building? Is it, like,
I haven't gotten there yet, because that's, like, where a lot of the really hard enemies are. Right. So I haven't gone in there yet. But, like, they talked a lot about the beginning of the game, where you literally start from the moment that you were born, and you have, like, your 10th birthday, your 16th birthday, your 19th birthday, and it's kind of how you slowly build your character. And it's really great how they do it, because even, like, when you make your character, it's like when you're born, they hook up, like, the genetic scanner so they can tell what you're going to look like, and that's where you make your character. And, like, you know, your dad's looking at you in that scene, but he's, like, silhouetted out because of all the lights in the ER, and you're just born, so you can't really see clearly yet. But when you see him in the next scene, they actually will generate the character model for your father to be, like, a derivation of the model you made for yourself. So it actually looks like he's your father, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And also, I wish Liam Neeson was my dad, because he's so awesome in this game.
Well, of
like,
course.
He's just, oh, so good. I'm just trying to think of, like what I want to touch on, because
talk to me about the shooting mechanics.
Okay. You cannot play this like it's Call of Duty. A lot of people are going to want to, but you can't. I mean, you can, you know, kill everything by, you know, shooting at it without using the VATS system, which is their, like, quasi-turn-based solution. It's just, there's no reason to not use the VATS, because, like, it works really well. It's a lot of fun, I think, and it allows you to do some really neat things. Like, you could still target the individual body parts, but, like, when you use this VATS, you know, it'll zoom into the guy. All the individual body parts get sectioned off, and there's a percentage next to each one of your chance to hit. If you could shoot a guy in the arm and get a hit where he'll drop his weapon, and now his accuracy is lessened when he picks it back up, shoot him in the legs, he runs more slowly, shoot him in the head, it affects his perception and does more damage. And like, I'm focusing my character to be like a kind of a long-range sniper kind of character. So I'm, like, getting all these perks to help me, like, with my long-range accuracy and stuff. And it's great, because anytime you connect a shot... Well, not anytime, but most of the times you connect a shot from range, it'll do the thing, like, where the camera chases the bullet as it goes, like, from your barrel into the guy's head. And it just looks really, really cool. I'm just trying to think. Like, I mean, there's literally so much. Like, my head's swimming right now trying to come up with everything.
Did you get dog meat yet?
Coherent. I have not found dog meat. I don't know where he is. I mean, I could go online and look it up, but I'd rather just kind of let this game go. Okay, here's probably the best way I can convey how much I enjoy this game is with a quick story of one of my gameplay sessions.
Oh, God, these are always something.
I know, I'll try to make it fast. basically, I was just trying to travel to, you know, where my next quest was. And a few raiders start attacking me. So, you know, I'm shooting at them. And all of a sudden, these mercenaries come in and they start fighting with me. So I'm like, oh, sweet. So, you know, we finish off these raiders and I go, like, to talk to them, like, presumably to thank them or something. And this guy informs me that, hey, it's you. You know, there's actually quite a bounty on your head. And I'm like, ah, shit. So these guys start shooting at me. I'm able to shoot the one guy in the face with a shotgun, but, like, I realize I don't stand a chance against them because I was kind of hurt from the last fight. So I just start running. I'm forced to leap off an edge into the radiated waters of the Potomac, where I start swimming while these guys are shooting at me. I get far enough away from them when these creatures called centaurs start spinning stuff at me. So I try to duck into the Anchorage War Memorial, but there's more mercenaries up top, so I very quickly and quietly sneak into the maintenance area for the memorial. And there's, like, this whole huge area in there that I spend all this time going through. I'm fighting these creatures. I hacked the computer to find where the secret stash of stuff was. I got this really sweet melee hammer weapon. Like, it was this whole, like, little mini-adventure I had that wasn't tied to anything. And then it was funny, too, because I turned out I'm doing this quest right now and I'm helping this one NPC write, like, a survival book. And she wanted me to research these creatures called Mirelurks, which were the creatures that were in that memorial. And I'm thinking to myself, I bet I know where she's going to want me to go. She's like, I heard there's a bunch of these in the Anchorage Memorial. Try to go down there and plant this device. And I'm like, oh, okay, no problem. It's empty. And then she says, oh, and try not to kill any Mirelurks. And I basically said to her, I promise from this point on I won't kill any because there weren't any left to kill, but I still got the credit for it. And so, yeah, I mean, I did that and got, like, a cool, like, bonus reward because I didn't kill anything while I was in there. And it was awesome. So.
Okay, so gameplay-wise, is this more Fallout or more Oblivion?
It's more Oblivion if you're using a melee weapon. And it's somewhere in between ye olde Fallout and, I'd almost say, this is maybe a bad point of comparison, but almost like Hellgate London. Because while your point-and-click like shooting skills still matter, there's still a lot of stat tracking going on in this game. So, you know, it's not pure Twitch. Kind of like that way that Hellgate did it. Oh, and also, I just found this out and I didn't realize it. You know how, like, a lot of people criticize Oblivion for the way, like, the game scaled with you, so you never felt really powerful?
Right.
What this game does is the world scales, but differently. When you enter an area, whatever level you are when you enter it, that area now becomes that level. So, like, if you go to a dungeon when you're level 3 and you walk in, that is now a level 3 dungeon. It will stay a level 3 dungeon the entire time you play the game. So if you have to backtrack there when you're level 10, you're going to walk right through it. But then the next area you go in when you're level 10 becomes a level 10 area and so on. And the cool, so then when you replay it, you know, you go to that level 3 area, but the first time you go there is when you're level 10, now it's level 10 area. So I think that's actually a really good solution to, you know, how do you create, like, sectioned areas in an open-world game? Because it doesn't restrict you from traveling, but it still allows you to feel like you're progressing as you go throughout the world.
Okay. Well, that sounds interesting. Be sure to bring it home with you on Friday so I can try it.
Yes, I will definitely do so. I played it today. My night class got canceled. I sat around playing it all day to the point where I realized at 8 o'clock at night that I hadn't eaten anything today. So I had to run to Subway real quick.
Did you play Penny Arcade Episode 2 very much?
Yes, I played about an hour of it, and
yeah, me too. I did buy it after all.
Did you? I mean, it. You know what you're getting. It's the continuation of Episode 1, but it's still absolutely phenomenal.
It's very funny.
And what I was very happy. Remember, one of my criticisms of the first one was that there was only really one time that they ever said your name.
Yeah.
They're like dropping it left and right in this one. They must have. Other people must have had that same criticism.
Right, I think so. But, yeah, definitely. Even you play somewhere, but I like how they change things up. Just like, you know, your special attacks are a little different. You know, like Tycho has a shotgun instead of a assault rifle.
Yeah. Stuff did like you that. Did you get the stage 2 rake attack yet? The special one.
No, not yet.
Oh, well, I won't tell you what it is. Just it's really cool, like the animation for it.
I will look forward to that then.
Yes. Let's see. What
I've been playing Castlevania.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I didn't even realize you got it till I saw it in your bedroom Monday morning. And I was like, oh, yeah, you bought this.
Well, let's go back a little bit. Let's because we got Guitar Hero World Tour.
Yes.
Kind of led to this, and we got it, and I wasn't very happy with it, really. My younger brother was really
into
it.
You and Chris called me while I was driving home on Sunday last week, and you're like, yeah, we got Guitar Hero. And I'm like, oh, how is it?
But, yeah, I mean, it's just... I just dislike the aesthetic so much in Guitar Hero.
Mm-hmm.
It's just jarring, because everything is so... Everything's colored perfectly. There's no, like, sense of stage lighting. All the, like...
The character models still look like horrifying marionette puppets.
Right, but even, like, just little things. Like, it's always in, like, 60 frames per second, which doesn't look right, you know?
Uh-huh.
Like, movies are in, like, 27 frames or something like that. And, like, I think 24. That's what Rockman does. And it just looks better. What's that?
It's 24, but yeah.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Multimedia Major.
But I like, well, and then even, like little things. Like, the note track... It's not as deep as it is in Rock Band. So you can't see far enough ahead as what's coming.
Right.
And they do this thing. They put the star power meter. It's a shared meter between the entire band. It's in the top left corner of the screen. If you're on, like, the right baseline, trying to look up at that with, like I said, not being able to look ahead at your notes is damn near impossible. And I really never figured out how it worked.
I don't understand the star power system yet. Yeah.
Yeah, like, I just don't get it. And
I mean, the world tour.
My thing with it
is not as satisfying.
Well, my whole thing with it, and it's kind of that same argument I have over why no MMO can beat WoW. You start playing Guitar Hero, and like, there's a few differences from Rock Band, but for us at least, there's not enough differences to justify playing this game over the game that we have all the instruments for, and Chris has probably downloaded about $200 worth of DLC. You know?
Right.
And it's like, unless I really want to play Hotel California, I'd rather just play Rock Band. I'm familiar with it. That's what I've been playing. And, you know, I mean, I think they're both fine games. I just think we've already dropped our hat in the Rock Band corner, you know?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I kind of wish... I think I tried talking him to trying to return it, and he sort of changed his mind. But out of bitterness...
I will say, I like the guitar for it. Like, the way it's constructed,
fine, yeah.
At least. But I don't get the point of that slider bar thing. I guess, like, because, like, there are, like, slide sections on notes. It seemed easier to me to just slide the buttons themselves rather than drop my hand, slide, and have to come back.
Right.
But also, I dabbled with the music creator a little bit. To get in there and just screw around and just, you know, write, like, a really simple, generic thing was easy. But, looking at that interface they present and trying to imagine how you would write anything substantial, that's going to be hard.
Well, yeah, it's going to be hard.
And of course,
like,
you know,
it's going to be easy to just make a song in there.
And of course, the instruction manual is like 4 pages. They don't tell you anything in it, so you got to like basically figure it all out on your own. I'm like, why can't they do this right?
Oh, I mean, come on. That was going to always be hard.
But it's just like, I mean, look at Little Big Planet, which we'll talk about in a little bit, but like, look at the stuff like that we just played that one day alone that people made in that game. And, like, you know, the game was built to do that. And it just seems like...
Well, that was beta stuff, too.
Yeah. But, like, I don't see why that couldn't have been the case in Guitar Hero. It seems like they just kind of dropped that in there.
Well, we didn't even look for what user-generated stuff for Guitar Hero. I think you're being critical of this one aspect of the game a little too early. I mean,
no,
I'm as much not a fan of Guitar Hero as anybody, but...
No, I know, but no, I mean, no, but I'm saying from, you know, having spent an hour in that creator trying to work it, I had no idea what was going on.
An hour, AJ, to make, like, a song you can recognize in there, that's
like,
making
music. I never even figured out how to, like, change the notes.
You hold down the note, I don't know.
No, I mean, like if I say, I want the green to be a C sharp, like, I didn't figure that out.
Well, I don't know if you can do that, could you?
Well, if you can't, that's a problem.
Well, why? You have to play the other one to be, I don't know, I don't get it. Anyways, moving on. Yeah, I forgot Little Big Planet. We didn't talk about that last week, huh? That came out this week.
Yes.
Which I got, and I kind of kept my expectations in check for that one, but it's a lot of fun. It is. It actually kind of lives up to the hype.
I kind of had my expectations set pretty low for this for some reason, and so I was pretty blown away by it. Well, it also, I think it helps, the first time I played it was we played 4 players when our friend Kevin was over, and that was just an absolute blast.
That was pretty fun.
It was way fun.
But it's just so much fun just even playing through the story mode in the game. there's so much. I mean, they're well crafted levels. Just the concepts of grabbing things and jumping, and just collecting things to, like, you know, customize your look. It's just very satisfying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We haven't even – have you started creating anything yet, really?
Not that much, because I want to go through the single-player campaign and unlock as much creating objects as possible. But we went online just to – I mean, the replay value of this game is going to be practically infinite because people are making good levels for and fun things to play around with.
And but you know what confuses me? They've already said that they're working on Little Big Planet 2. I don't want to hear that, because then it's like, well, what's going to happen to all this stuff from this one?
Well, you said the same thing about Rock Band 2.
Hopefully the content remains compatible or something.
I think it will. But yeah, Little Big Planet has been a lot of fun, which I think we'll be talking about it more in time to come. We played that fun God of War level. There's a pretty cool Batman level that someone made.
Yeah, the Batman level was sweet. It just was really hard.
The cool part was, though, you got into a Batmobile and, like, it drove along kind of like out of the cave and it played the Batman theme song.
Yeah, the old one, na 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 Batman.
There's a lot of people just making, like, songs in the game, which is impressive.
Yeah. I mean,
there's a lot of cool stuff you can do with that one. But, yeah, back to Order of Ecclesia, so...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I definitely like it more than Portrait of Ruin.
That's good. Well,
first off, the good thing is they got, like, Portrait of Ruin and the two Sorrow games before that, they had, like, that anime art style.
Oh, I know.
And they finally got rid of that, went back to that more gothic art style. Which is just so much
fun. Oh, I didn't even know that. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, thank God they did that. So that just alone helps a lot. Now, it's not like Portrait of Ruin where, like, you have rooms that take you to different levels, but you have, like, a mini-map, which are filled with all these different kind of smaller levels. So things are broken down. So it's not quite like in Symphony of the Night or even, you know, the other ones where you're in the castle and that's
so it's kind of, like, in between, like, Symphony of the Night and, like, Castlevania 2.
Yes, although Castlevania 2 is horrible. Let's say Castlevania even, like, 4, almost. But, yeah.
Yeah.
So things are broken down, so it simplifies it.
My understanding is that the last, like, third of the game does open up into, like, a more Metroidvania style.
Right, I'm kind of expecting, like, I'll go to a castle at some point, and it'll be a big castle. So, like, right now, backtracking is kind of minimal. It's just that backtracking is easier because you have a lot more waypoints, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of nice, but at the same time, that's sort of the appeal of the game. But, I mean, you know, my impressions are very favorable. It plays out well. Your attack system is called glyphs. And the way it works is you get, like, a sword glyph or an axe glyph or, you know, like, an ice spell glyph. And you can assign them to X or Y. And every time you use one, it'll take a little bit of MP away. But your MP, although it's always kind of depleting, it'll recharge very fast. And those are your basic attacks. And you can kind of alternate between X and Y. If you time it right, you can time these things very well and stuff. And you can combine the glyphs by pushing up in X or up in Y to do a more powerful attack. So it has an MP system that works really well, surprisingly.
Nice.
Yes.
Ooh, now I'm really interested in this game.
Really? I didn't really know that much about that
either. Yeah, I didn't. I was kind of like, another Metroidvania. Portrait of Ruin was kind of disappointing.
The kind of fun thing is that you get most of these glyphs from, like, enemies, which kind of brings back the fun. And I forget which one it was, but there's – in some of the other ones, you know, you always had to beat an enemy, and then maybe you get a spell from them, which is always
kind of fun. It was Aria of Sorrow and Dawn of Sorrow. And in Aria of Sorrow, I 100%ed it. I got every single one.
Right, yeah. So that's kind of back in here.
Nice.
Yeah, and, yeah, it's just been a fun experience so far. It's better than Portrait of Ruin, which is the most important thing here.
That's good.
Boss fights have been hard. The game itself is kind of actually a notch up in difficulty, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Not, which is not necessarily a bad thing. But yeah, cool boss fights. You have this one, like, ability for the R button right now. You get more eventually, but it's like a little magnetic field kind of goes out around me. And if I do on, like, certain little, you know, like, dots, basically, then I can kind of push myself forward with them. It's kind of hard to explain, but it's cool.
Nice.
Well,
I got my PC beta key for Call of Duty World at War multiplayer beta.
Oh, we'll let you go then.
And I just played it today, and just for a little bit. It's Call of Duty 4 with World War 2. I mean, there's really not much more to it than that. The two biggest things, one's really cool, one I don't like. One is because in World War 2 they couldn't have Comanche helicopters coming in and start shooting everybody. The perk or the like the thing you get for getting your 7 kill streak is you just release this pack of vicious dogs on the enemy team, which is actually really freaking cool.
That's not neat.
Like I'm like trying to hide and snipe, and I just hear like, you know, like my guy goes, "They've released the dogs," and I'm like, "They what?" And I hear this barking, and I'm like, "What the hell's going on?" And like this dog starts running up the steps to where I'm perched and sniping. I'm like, "Oh shit!" So I start shooting this dog, and I kill this dog and get like my 3 points. And then like three more run up, and I'm like, "Oh fuck," because I couldn't shoot fast enough. So this dog literally just jumps on me and mauls me to death, and I'm dead. And I'm like, "Huh." That was neat.
What do you get when you get 10 kills or whatever?
Well, it's 3 kills is still like, instead of a UAV, it's just a recon plane. 5 kills is an artillery barrage instead of a bombing run.
Right.
And it's cool because you can see the artillery shells being launched from the horizon and watch them all the way to go where they land. Which is kind
I thought you were trying
effect.
To say that this wasn't cool. It's sounding very cool.
Yeah, I'm getting to it. Hang on. So this level I'm in, they've added vehicles.
Right.
Which I think is a huge mistake. Because it devolved into a shitty Battlefield game. Where, like, everybody just wants to get in these tanks. And once you're in these tanks, you are God. And there's, like, no point to being on foot. Because you can't do shit against these tanks. And they blow the hell out of you. And so it just became race for the tanks. And so I was like, that sucks. It's not every map, though. So like I said, like the maps didn't have that. Yes, the dogs and the artillery thing is cool, but like I said, ultimately, it's Call of Duty 4 with the World War II skin. And
right. Well, I think more than anything, I'm looking forward to a single player campaign in this game.
Yeah, so that's making me think with this game, I'll probably just rent it, play the single player, and be done with it. Because if I'm like, I'd rather just play the COD 4 multiplayer. Honestly, I think the weapons in it are more interesting and the settings.
I played the Tomb Raider demo. What's that new one, Underworld?
I did too. What'd you think?
You know, everyone keeps talking about how, like, the Tomb Raider franchise has been revitalized. I don't see it.
Well, it's better than it was, certainly.
I guess. It plays kind of like a bad Uncharted.
Yeah, my problem was with it, like, I love platforming puzzles in games. This is why I like games like Prince of Persia and Assassin's Creed. And, you know, I enjoyed Tomb Raider Legend Anniversary, like, of what I played. But the thing is, every platforming puzzle in this game is so obvious. And so it's just, like, they just take forever to do. And it's, you know, it's like, it's, I don't know, they're just not that fun to me. Also, it's like, okay, I see, I'm going to jump here to there to that, okay, fine, let's go. And you're just like, hurry it up. And combat in the game is shit. I hated the combat.
I didn't even get to a point where I saw anything. At one point, I finally fell down.
You're attacked by a bunch of tigers. And all it is you hold down the R trigger and keep hitting the B button to roll out of the way every so often. There's no strategy to it. It's super easy.
Yeah.
Just.
Right.
Yeah, I thought it looked good.
It looked all right. Nice. It didn't look as good as Uncharted.
No.
So, I mean, I don't know. It annoyed me that I couldn't move the camera 360 when I was hanging on a ledge to see where I might jump to, which kind of bothered me. Was there anything else you played?
The camera was awful in that. Like, it tried to be too close all the time. And then when you tried to move it, it, like, went super fast.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. People seem to like these games, but Tomb Raider's still not my thing.
Let's see. I played the demo for Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts.
The demo came out?
Yeah, it came out today.
Really? I didn't even hear anything about that.
Yeah, what I was afraid of what happened seems to have happened. Rather than being a platforming game with vehicles, it's a platforming game that is vehicles. Like, they built a platform... I'm trying to think. You know how, like you're playing a platform game, they have the shitty vehicle race segment where you just got to go through some checkpoints?
Yeah.
Imagine if that's the entire game. Like, it's a racing game that's not built on a racing engine. So, like, I don't know, like, it's okay. And then, like, the whole thing of the game is, like, you're supposed to, like, make your own vehicles or whatever. But it's, like, every inch of what I played was trying to discourage me from making my own shit and just following their blueprints. To which I was like, well, what's the point of that? What's the point of making it? Why can't I just pick up the blueprint and say, do that? You know? Like, they're, like, making you, like, fill things into guides and everything. When I did finally figure out how to, you know, say, screw you, I'm making my own thing, that was kind of cool. It was neat to make something and turn it on and see it actually driving around.
Is it easy to make these vehicles?
Yeah, it's a It's a good interface. It's just, like I said, they don't seem to be encouraging you doing your own experimental stuff as much.
What now? What is the platforming like when you're just on your own? Does it basically play like the old Banjo-Kazooie?
Well, no. All it is running, jumping, and swinging a wrench. There's no double jump. There's none of the cool things where, like, you did all the tricks with Kazooie.
So it's not like a Mario 64 clone anymore?
It's not even a Banjo-Kazooie clone.
Huh.
Yeah, like, I'd rather just have that. I'd rather have Banjo-Kazooie 3, I think. Right. I mean, it's $40, and if you pre-order it, you get the original Banjo-Kazooie on Live Arcade in a couple weeks for free, which is worth $10.
Wait, the
right
game
there,
is only
so
$40?
It's priced right, I guess.
Wait, why are they making a budget game? Why isn't this game worth $60? And that's the question I ask.
I think they realize that, like, they need to market this kind of towards the same crowd that bought Viva Pinata, and that's this kind of crowd that, especially with the way the economy is now, they're spending their entertainment budgets wisely. So if they see this cutesy kid game that's $20 cheaper than everything else, they're more likely to buy it.
See, I ask, why is this a $40 game and why is it not worth $60?
I don't think it would be worth $60. I think $40 might be the right price point.
Why don't they make a game worth $60 then?
I don't know.
I just don't know what Rare is up to.
Also, and I know, like, this isn't the huge concern of a Banjo-Kazooie game, but I don't understand the story at all. I mean, maybe there's some important opening cutscene that's missing from the demo, but from what I gather, it's like this very fourth wall breaking thing where the Lord of Games, who's this like flying computer monitor, has captured you and is forcing you to play his video game, like, for reals. And then, you know, like that witch Gruntilda or whatever, she's like a reanimated robot sort of thing with like her essence inside of it, and like she's literally sitting there, and she's like, "I'm here too. He brought me here to be the bad guy." Like, but you are the bad guy. Like, what's with all this, like, weird fourth wall crap? Why is this happening? I don't get it. Like, why couldn't the story just be Gruntilda's back as a robot now, and you gotta go stop her, and we're gonna use vehicles this time?
Yeah. Didn't Peter Moore say that Rare had become irrelevant?
Yeah, he might have been right.
It's kind of weird, because we all thought that Rare was gonna be a big part of the 360.
Yeah, well, remember when Microsoft bought them towards the end of the Xbox, and... See, here's the thing. I don't, like, the only Rare thing I've honestly liked, that, like, for reals, like, Viva Pinata is good, but, like, I loved Cameo, and that's, like, the one game that everyone's like, "Oh, Cameo was shit." I like that game a lot.
Yeah, you're kind of alone in that.
I wish they'd do more with that. I really am. I know I am, but I enjoyed that game.
It had a good soundtrack. I'll give it that.
Yeah, I bought the soundtrack.
Yeah.
So. Also, yeah, speaking of, Banjo-Kazooie has a phenomenal soundtrack.
Really?
It sounds like theme park music. It's really good. Actually, yeah. Everyone just go play this demo and listen to the music. It's actually kind of worth it.
Well, anything else you played you want to talk about?
Let's see.
I mean, we could be done here.
Yeah, I think that's about it.
Okay, then. Well, why don't you talk about the downloadable game releases?
All right. So last week, for your downloading pleasures on the Wii... WiiWare, they released Tetris Party, which is like the Tetris game that you can even play with the balance board. And it's got online play, and it's Tetris. Also, The Incredible Maze, which I think is like a labyrinth kind of game. Also compatible with the Wii balance board. On the Virtual Console, Digital Champ Battle Boxing for the TurboGrafx-16, and Gradius 2 Gopher No Yabow for the TurboGrafx-16 CD-ROM.
Gopher No What Yow?
Gopher No Yabow.
What's that?
It's GopherNoYabou. It's all caps.
But what is it?
It's a vertical shooter. You know, Gradius. You know what Gradius is.
Oh, okay.
It might actually be a horizontal shooter. I'm not sure. On the Xbox Live Arcade, they released Portal Still Alive, which, interestingly enough, is double the size limit that's supposedly out there for Xbox Live Arcade games. I think they're capped at 350, and this game goes to like 650 or something. But it's Portal with the free on the PC Flash map pack, but they don't like call it that. It's just like the challenge rooms or something. But you know, if you've never played Portal and you got $15, go ahead. The PlayStation Network saw the release of the first episode of Penny Arcade Adventures.
Oh, ooh, I'm sorry. The World Series just ended.
Oh, really? Who won?
Phillies just won it.
Woohoo!
I want a Tampa Bay to win.
That's it. It's all over.
Yeah, it's over. That was a game. That was
sweet. Hang on. I'm going to send a quick text message while I finish this. They also released Prince of Persia Classic.
Oh, the fireworks are going off. Man. I'm sorry. I didn't like that Prince of Persia Classic when I played on Xbox Live Arcade.
Yeah, it was okay, I thought. But yeah, it's not anything I was like dying to buy. But this is that for the PS3. And on Games Half, they released Supreme Commander Forged Alliance, which is pretty neat. Die by the Sword. It's a sword-fighting game that Treyarch made a decade ago. I think this might have been the one where you actually swung the sword by moving the mouse. And last, World Poker Championship 2 for the Windows platform.
All right, then. You're done.
I'm done. Let's go to For Reals.
The For Reals? Okay, well, now that we're kind of doing this more in the middle of the week, a lot of these games are already out. Like, Fallout 3 for 360 and PC, which you've been enjoying. Also, Command & Conquer Red Alert 3 has come out.
Yeah, this is one of those games that I'll probably, when there's a lull in, April, and this is cheap, I might get it.
Did you get Command & Conquer 3?
No.
So why do you have interest in this, but not in just Command & Conquer 3?
Truth be told, it is for the story and cutscenes and the actors in them.
But then, Command & Conquer 3 did the same kind of thing, right? With real
This took that cheese factor and, kicked it to 11. Like, it goes even further.
Okay.
To, this glorious point. Red Alert series, appeals me more, whereas Command & Conquer is kind of, semi-serious sci-fi. This is ridiculous. Some of the units are, I think the Russians get bears with missile launchers strapped on them, and the Americans have dolphins with lasers mounted to their heads. Shit like that.
That does sound amusing.
Yes, and I guess the entire campaign can be played co-op. And I know, we talked about this before, and you kind of poo-pooed it, but I guess, it's not, so much that you're just straight up, two people against the AI. I'm trying to think how to explain it, how I heard it explained. It's more like where you might be tasked with running the base and I run the military, or you run the naval units, I run the land units. They set it up with specific roles for each of the co-op players.
Okay. Let's move on, though. Okay. Fallout 3 also came out for the PS3, of course, as did Little Big Planet. Yep. Also, Guitar Hero World Tour, 360, PS3, Wii, and PS2. Also, there's some game called Exodus from the Earth came out on the PC on October 28th.
I have no idea what that is.
No, that's Spider-Man Web of Shadows on PC, which you were so high on, huh?
Yeah.
MotoGP 08, PC, PS3, Xbox 360, and PS2. The new MotorStorm Pacific Rift came out for the PS3.
Oh, I played the demo for that. I liked it.
That's good. Let's just keep it at that.
Okay.
Master of the Monster Lair for the DS will be coming out October 31st. So.
I heard this game is kind of like, remember Dungeon Keeper?
Yeah.
It's like that, but kiddier.
Interesting. We got Tornado for the DS that came out on October 27th.
Wow.
Ninja Town came out on the DS on October 28th.
I guess you could download the demo for this off the Nintendo channel on the Wii. It's it's kind of a desktop tower defense game, but it looks pretty neat.
Well, I'll just take your word for it. Ben 10 Alien Force, the game for PSP, PS2, Wii, and DS came out.
All right.
Ben 10, whatever. FIFA Soccer 09 All Play came out for the Wii. And the King of Fighters Collection, the Arachi Saga, came out for PSP and PS2 on October 28th.
All right.
So that's all that. Derek Robbins, he did the top 10 PlayStation titles. So PlayStation 1. Number 10, he has Tekken 3.
Tekken is a series just never clicked with me.
Yeah, me too. Never been my kind of game. Number 9 is Symphony of the Night. So
very good.
That's timely. 8 is Xenogears, which is an RPG my one friend really liked.
Yeah, he does. I know what you're talking about.
But a lot of people really like this game.
Yeah.
I think they were kind of disappointed with the direction Xeno's Saga took things, but it was very popular. 7 is the original Silent Hill, which I didn't play.
Me neither.
8 is Crash Bandicoot 3 Warped.
You mean 6.
What? Yeah, 6. Why did I say 8? Sorry.
Yeah.
I can't distinguish those games in my mind from each other.
Yeah, right? I really can't. I can remember the first one, and it all goes fuzzy from there.
Yeah. 5 is Final Fantasy 9, which, I'm a fan. 4, Resident Evil 2. 3 is Chrono Cross, which, you know, people either love or hate. People,
yeah, it's like, yeah, it's a very divisive game.
Two, Street Fighter Alpha 3, which is more my kind of fighting game. I don't know if it was one of my super favorite PlayStation titles, but number one is Metal Gear Solid, which I think we can all agree on.
Which is, yes, the correct answer.
Yes, so, correct answer. Do you have an email to talk about?
Well, before we do that, is there any other PS1 games you think you should have mentioned?
I don't know. I kind of been open before about PS. The PS1 wasn't exactly my favorite system. During that whole PS1 and Nintendo 64 era, and actually, I sort of gravitated towards PC games. I mean, Final Fantasy VII and Final Fantasy VIII, the other Final Fantasy games, I obviously enjoyed a lot.
Right.
But I mean, I don't know. Is there something you're thinking of?
Maybe Mega Man X4. That's about it.
Yeah, and you know, that's a good game, not a great game.
Yeah.
There might be some things I'm missing, but yeah, I mean, overall, PlayStation was a system that was there.
Yes.
All right, so talk about that email.
All right, so from our good friend David Redke. Dear Exploding Barrel team, problems with this week's show or lacking the time to do it? No matter how you feel the strain of doing the show on a weekly basis, you do have fans to your show. It is nice that regular Joes can talk about video games.
Joe's six-pack.
Yes. The other shows / podcasts lack this clear advantage that both of you possess. You are indeed crucial in these times of uncertainty. You both bring in 30-minute to over an hour of serenity to your loyal fans. You may feel like you will buckle under the pressure, but this podcast is a clear cut above the rest. For striving for excellence, you leave all other challengers in your wake. Here's hoping for a show this week. Sincerely, David Redke. Thank you for that very flattering email. So we realized we talked about this on the podcast that infamously died, and we never brought it back up again. But we've been kind of, as you've noticed, not doing the Monday releases for a while.
Yeah, we're trying Wednesdays. To find a place here. It's been awkward ever since you moved to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that and just our schedules with school and everything. We're considering either keeping Wednesdays, or we might even do Fridays. We haven't really decided yet. We're trying to figure out our schedules.
Right, we're trying to think of it. If you have any opinions on the matter, please send us an email.
Yeah, as it is for now, there will be a show every week, we promise. We just don't know when.
I feel like we'll definitely be recording on Wednesdays, whatever we're doing.
Yeah. He continues
PS. Oh, okay, he hear the PS. What does PS, what does that stand for, PS?
You need to watch postscript or something. I don't know.
Yeah, that's right.
You need to watch Chuck. This is not me asking. This is me demanding. Yvonne Starovski is drop-dead gorgeous, and her character gives a little bit of hope to the nerdy guy getting a nice girl that is a secret agent with the CIA. I watched some of Chuck a while ago. Didn't click with me. And truth be told, I don't watch TV.
I don't watch as much TV as much as I used to. Back when Lost first came out, I was like, I'm going to watch TV a lot again. I kind of did for a little bit. Then I stopped liking Lost. It kind of ruined TV in general for me.
Yeah, I was like that too. And then the only thing I watch now is How I Met Your Mother, and I just watch it online. Like, I don't even have cable hooked up in my room.
All I watch right now is CNN. That'll probably end after the election, but I've just become a CNN junkie.
You have. I've noticed that. It's kind of odd.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just put on CNN, and I just sit in front of my computer and do whatever I'm going to do. So, we're going to, you know, kind of close out here, but we're going to be right back after this break with, we're going to talk about Fable 2.
I forgot about this, actually. I was like, we're done.
No, we're not done yet, because you liked the ending of Fable 2, and I didn't.
Yes.
So we have to argue and yell and scream about this. Okay. So, but if you're leaving now, thanks for listening. You can find our website at the Exploding Barrel website. That was redundant. Basically, look, here's the address for it. It's explodingbarrel.wordpress.com. You can contact me at tolkoto@gmail.com. You can get a hold of Ajguy at ajguy711@gmail.com. I have to say, at the beginning I was fearing for this show, Ajguy. We didn't have our groove back. But we found our groove.
It is back.
We got our groove back. So thanks for listening. If you're leaving, if you want to hear about Fable 2, if you beat Fable 2, or if you don't care about spoilers, hang on. We'll be right back. And we are back.
And we're back.
Yeah. And we're back. Welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast. I'm your host, tribute. Michael Minotti, with my brother, Edge Guy Minotti. Maybe I should have a radio voice now, from now on.
You could be like the crime time guy. Yo, 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 coming in every Wednesday, it's Edge Guy and Mike Zors.
Right. Right. So, Fable 2.
We talked about
what we liked about it gameplay-wise.
Yeah, so I think that didn't really change much.
Now, the ending of the game. It's pretty cool, actually, at first, because you kind of go to... You all gather up all the heroes and stuff. You know, the whole point of the game is you're gathering the three heroes.
Yes.
Hey, by the way, weren't you kind of upset when Reaver killed off that one guy?
Barnum? I was pissed. I was really pissed.
I was like, why can't I do anything to save Barnum, and why don't I seem to care? Why am I letting this asshole getting away with that?
Yeah, I know. I was very upset about that, too, actually. I like Barnum.
First of all, I like the character, but it also seemed to spit in the face of, like, I get to, you know, influence this world and stop what happens.
That is true. It would have been cool if there was, like, a way for you to stop that.
Yeah, so...
Like, I actually tried to pull my gun, and just nothing kind of happened.
Yeah, me too. I was like, don't you... No! Not Barnum. He saved Westcliff.
Yeah.
So, I didn't like that. So then, after that, though, you essentially go through, unwittingly to you, the last level of the game, where you're in a cave, and you're basically just encouraged to shoot people. And then you get out of that, and you fight what I will call the last boss of the game, which was that giant shard.
Which, I enjoyed that fight. I thought it was cool. You know,
it's still a fight against. It's still a fight against a giant shard.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's
so then
other
you
guys
that.
There too.
You cannot tell me you thought that was the last boss fight, though.
No, I didn't. Okay, I did not think that was the last encounter.
Or even the last instance of combat. So then you do this kind of cool thing where you almost die and you kind of go back through your childhood.
Okay, well, hang on. Let's not gloss over this now. So what happens is, you know, you and all the heroes go to the ritual site or whatever, and you do this thing, and Lucien shows up, and he teleports away the other heroes, and he explains how, you know, he needs to stop the hero bloodline. Then he informs you that he himself personally has killed your wife and kids. Then he goes to shoot you, and your dog leaps and takes the bullet, which I was pissed at that point. I was like, you fucking asshole, you're done. And then he shoots you, and you may continue. Now, did that do anything to you emotionally when he was like,
yes,
I just killed your family?
Yeah, no, that was all cool. That was like, oh man, they actually are taking things away from me, and I'm actually legitimately upset about them.
Yeah, so I think Peter Molyneux succeeded on that
front.
My
emotions.
Yeah.
I guess so. So then you do this kind of weird flashback thing where you go back and you're a child again. It's kind of cool, but it was ultimately sort of inconsequential.
Well, here's one thing where I'll agree with you. I like the idea of the whole perfect world thing where it's like you're on this idyllic farm, your sister's alive, you're a kid again. It took so damn long.
Yeah, it
didn't
mean anything.
It was like we're at the climax, and then this thing kind of brought everything to a screeching halt. It could have been streamlined a bit, I felt.
Right, well, they give you, like, she's like, I put bottles everywhere, go shoot them. I'm like, oh, I'm going to shoot every one of these bottles. But as far as I can tell, I didn't get anything for shooting all of them.
Yeah, you had to.
Oh, you had to?
I think so.
Yeah, so I was like, It was like a tutorial at the end of the game.
Yeah, that's kind of what it was. And, like, I understood that this, like, the thematic importance of it, but, like, yeah, it just dragged.
So you do a cool thing where you go in a cave and it kind of shows your character aging in kind of fast motion. So you kind of got to see like how your character evolved into what he was.
Yeah, that was cool.
So a little sidetrack here. Did you do that one quest where you had to go and like that you basically turned old?
Yeah.
You didn't save the girl?
No, I turned old.
Yeah, me neither. That was kind of interesting.
That was an interesting choice.
Interesting. Anyway, so then you go back and you get the music box and you're going to go fight Reaver. And he monologues, and you have the music box, and you use it, and it's kind of cool, and you're like, all right, man, we're setting up for the final boss fight. Then he's talking to you, and you notice that he's red, which means you can attack him. But of course you want to hear what he says. So you're listening. Then mid-sentence, Reaver pulls out a gun and shoots him in the head, and then the game's done.
Yeah.
There is no final boss fight. There is no confrontation with the main antagonist of the game. The guy who killed your family. Every member of your family who you're seething revenge for. Not only is there no boss fight, you do not kill him.
No, but that's the thing. It's set up like that so that you have to make that choice. Do you shoot this guy?
I didn't make a choice. I would have liked to shoot him. I didn't know that I was timed. I was going to hear what he said.
Oh, I mean, I saw – you didn't notice that Reaver was the only one moving? I knew exactly what was going
to
happen.
I knew Reaver was moving. I didn't think he was going to shoot him and I wouldn't get my chance to fight
him. I saw that coming like a mile away. I don't know.
What? You really didn't think that like Lucien was going to come back up from that pit as a dragon or something?
Well, no. Here's the thing. I like the combat in this game very much, but it is not the kind of combat that lends itself to anything that's like a boss fight. The biggest thing you fight are the trolls, and they're kind of gimmicky. You're just
it doesn't have to be a giant or something like that. He could have still.
But even
been
still,
the same
if it was
size.
Just like a one-on-one like sword fight with like or like you know you and Lucien, you're similarly equipped. It's no different from any other bad guy in the game, really.
It doesn't matter. It's still payoff.
I guess you have
to fight someone, and they don't say that they couldn't have made it cool. They could have. There have been games with simple combat like this that have had satisfying boss fights. I mean, come on. You can't just do that. You can't. Why even have an antagonist? What was the point? And I felt like he was trying much harder to make a statement about something than just giving. You can't. I mean, come on. I don't see how you can justify this.
I don't know. I guess you're looking at it. I know you're going to argue with me on this, but you're looking at it more. In a gameplay perspective, which I could see where it's
yes, what else is what other ways there to look at it?
I'm looking at it more of the story perspective.
Who cares about the story? This is a game. Gameplay. Game, and I play it. Who cares about the story? Oh man, that was deep, man. Oh man, I didn't kill Lucien. I didn't have to do anything. I did not need to be there. I played a music box.
Yeah.
I'm a real big freaking hero. Build a statue of me.
So that does mean you pick the save the thousands of innocents.
Oh yeah, that's another thing. I did that. So now I don't have my dog anymore.
Yeah, I will admit I was legitimately torn over that, and I was like, oh my doggy. So I went with that.
Yeah, I thought I would get some sort of reward, but no, they just built a statue of me. It's no better than the stupid statues you build in like the mini games.
That's a little disappointing.
It was a little disappointing. Come no, that was a stupid ending. And then that girl, Theresa or whatever, your sister from Fable 1's like, now get out of here. Because I'm setting up for the sequel. And everyone comes up to me, they're all like, oh, what do you think that means? I'm like, they have no idea what it means. It's called an open cliffhanger.
Yes.
They have no idea where they're going with that, trust me.
Maybe
we could have fought her. Maybe that could have been the final boss fight.
Maybe it'll do like a DLC expansion.
Remember when you fought the Overseer from... inside the, I don't know what the spire. That was good.
Oh,
that was
the,
good.
The
could have done
Commandant.
Something like that. Lucien clearly had some sort of knowledge of the arcane. Like he didn't have to turn into a dragon like the guy from Fable 1. But geez.
Oh, is that what happened to Fable 1? That's
yeah,
cool.
I guess so. I never beat Fable 1.
Huh. Well, here let me share with you a message I got from our friend Fienwager or Wager. I don't know how you pronounce it actually. He and I sent some messages on 1UP to discuss it. Here's his thoughts on the ending. He says, I thought the perfect world piece dragged on a bit too long. But other than that, I liked everything. I thought the giant shard bit was fine as a, quote, epic end boss deal. Especially with the way death was treated in the game, a huge boss battle would be senseless. You'd just wait him out since you couldn't really die, and who cares if you have scars at that point. For once, it was nice to see a badass at the end and actually get to act like one.
Why
I didn't
did you
even
act
know...
like a badass at the end?
Well, he shot Lucien, and I didn't realize this because he then says, I didn't even know you could let Reaver do anything. I was so pissed about the dog that as soon as I got control of my character, I popped off a headshot and we were done. That felt good. Abstractly, the choice at the end was difficult, but after playing however many hours, I can't imagine anyone picking anything other than bringing the donk back. Screw the thousands of nameless, faceless people I've never met. I want my pal. So far, my game of the year. Let's see what Fallout has to offer.
I just disagree. I mean, that's basically your argument, so I don't have to explain my position again. But you need some sort
but
of
he does, he, there was he no, does bring up a good point, and I hadn't thought of this.
Don't talk about the theme about senseless killing and stuff.
It's about gameplay. Essentially, there's no death in the game, so...
Okay, well, that goes for the entire game, so why bother playing the game then?
Because, well, this is the end now, so it's even like less inconsequential.
Then the whole game is inconsequential.
Well, no, because the other penalty for it, too, is you lose experience. So...
Then what was the point of getting experience? What were you leveling up for if not for a final confrontation? What do I even need this super powerful sword for that I did a side quest for 10 hours for if there's nothing to fight at the end?
There was a fight on the beach.
Against a freaking fragment of a rock.
And some
which
soldiers.
All you had to do was wait. You just fought minions while you waited for Garth or whatever to shoot lightning at it until the one like weak point showed up and you shot it. Wow, that was awesome. That was a... Man, I'll tell you, that's up there with Mother Brain and Bowser. The Rock from Fable 2. What a great final boss fight. Stand back, Sephiroth, with your three-tier of boss fights and, you know, crashing a meteor and destroying our solar system. Here comes a rock. And it has a red weak point that's going to pop up every once in a while. That's just great.
Oh, God, you might actually have a point.
See? Come on. But I love Fable 2. Besides the stupid ending, I liked it.
Yes, me too, very much.
I think we both said our piece. I think we're... My thing is that, look, there is an art to video games in the gameplay. I don't like how people say video games have to be art, and they interpret that to mean, oh, then it has to have a better story. Well, that's not what that means. It means, you know, you can be artful in your gameplay and interactions and stuff like that. And Fable does do that in ways. And I just, when you make the game service the story, it's backwards. That's why StarCraft has turned into an epic trilogy for no reason. You can't. The game can't service the story. The story is made to service the game. So that's all I'm saying.
Fair enough.
Anyone listening, please write in and let us know your opinions on this view being Fable 2, because I really want to hear more about this, what people think. Because a lot of the people I know, they're kind of theme freaks, and they're going to look into themes and stuff like this. But I just don't think this is what you should do at the end of a game like this. I mean, come on, do you really think Fallout 3 isn't going to have a final boss fight?
I don't know.
Although probably Fallout 1, will. You could talk your way out of the final boss fight, but that was different.
You know, it's always possible. I mean, right now I'm still just looking for my dad.
See, it's kind of like how Bioshock got Chris after having, like, a sort of two standard final boss fight, but you still kind of needed that. I mean, that was more satisfying than when you just killed Andrew Ryan in a cutscene you weren't interacting with.
True.
See? So, okay, why don't we bury this then? This is kind of a long podcast, I'm just realizing.
Just to be clear, we both like the game, we just disagree on its ending.
We both like the game. I don't think, when we do our top five game of the year thing, I don't know if it will be in my list.
It might be in mine.
See, it was fun. It was definitely better than Fable 1, good improvements, but it's still not all the way there.
I can understand.
All right, then, so why don't we wrap it up?
Okay, hey, real quick as we go out, did I tell you that I actually got the Fallout 3 Collector's Edition?
No, really, what's in that?
I bet. It comes in a lunchbox. Like a 1950s era lunchbox. I get the little Fallout Boy guy bobblehead.
Pip-Boy?
Yeah, Pip-Boy. Is that his name? I mean, that's the device, but is that his name?
You know, maybe not. Maybe
Whoever. We all know what I'm talking about. I got a bobblehead of him. I get an art book and a making of DVD documentary.
Any soundtrack or anything like that?
No, there's no soundtrack, although I got like there's a little soundtrack sampler game, for pre-ordering. And also, because I got it at Circuit City, I got the mini strategy guide for free, and I got a $10 Circuit City gift card.
Not bad.
So maybe if I get a Castlevania, I'll get it at Circuit City.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, again, make sure you bring that over this Friday.
Yeah, well, I might just bring my whole Xbox hard drive over just to keep it simple. I got so much crap to bring it home with it.
Oh, okay. Are you coming on Friday or Thursday?
I will be home Friday.
Why do you have to do it on Friday?
Thursday, I mean? News broadcast, I'm anchoring.
Oh, I mean Friday, what do you have to do?
Huh?
What do you have to do on Friday?
Halloween parties.
Oh, come home.
Well, I'm coming home.
I'm coming Thursday night.
I'm doing a news broadcast Thursday night.
Come home after it.
It'll be over, like, midnight.
Maybe. Think about me. I want to... Never. Yeah, no. Come on Friday. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We're just having a private conversation now.
Yes. Don't mind us.
Okay. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week.
Bye.